What's up, guys? Welcome to the second official episode of the Drop a Deuce podcast. I am Daniel Keenis. This is Frank Todd. And Frank, US Open's been going.
It is going, Daniel, and I'm officially ready to introduce us as the number one Nick Kyrgios podcast ever. We are a Nick Kyrgios podcast who somewhat supports Coco Gauff. Nick Kyrgios is my hero.
Are we really like the number one Nick Kyrgios podcast?
I'm declaring it because I don't think any other tennis podcast has declared this yet. So we're getting on it early. We're getting on it now. The top Nick Kyrgios podcast.
I wouldn't say we're a bandwagon podcast because everybody, I think, hates him now.
Pretty much. Everyone hates him for being the flashy douchebag on the court, but that's why I love him. Because he does that crap. That's why I love Nick Kyrgios.
Nick Kyrgios has broken more rackets than hearts in his life. True or false?
Probably pretty close to equal, to be honest.
That's like two a match.
Nick Kyrgios has probably broken more rackets than I've owned.
That is, I think Nick Kyrgios, you only have like two rackets though.
That's also true, but I mean, I've switched rackets before, so yeah. You know.
I have like seven rackets in my house just being not used.
Yeah, same. We get a good pile of old rackets. Hell, I'll pay Nick Kyrgios to come and just smash them because it'd be fun to watch.
I don't know. So you also said that we are a Nick. So you said we're a Nick Kyrgios podcast who supports Coco Gauff.
Somewhat supports Coco Gauff.
Somewhat supports Coco Gauff.
I'm mainly a Nick Kyrgios lover. I'm mad at Coco Gauff because she couldn't cover five games yesterday. So she's lost some favor in my heart.
Okay, but she's 15. Like, she's going to end up being really good.
Hopefully. We've seen drop-offs like this before, but we don't want it to happen to Coco.
No, the biggest thing with Coco is that she didn't lose first round.
Yeah, she won another couple rounds. She had another good couple matches, and now she just needs to keep winning.
I mean, well, she didn't beat anybody good, but she didn't lose to anybody bad. I think that's the huge deal.
Well, yeah, that's true. I don't know. She played a good another young lady in the first round.
Papatapokapova.
Yes. Papatapova is also a former a major champion as a junior. That's good. She's a good young player, too.
Did Coco even play junior Grand Slams?
I think she won a – I think someone was watching the match. She won a French.
Like 12.
Yeah, they showed something. They showed her playing at the French Open, and she hasn't played in a real French Open yet, so.
I feel like an idiot because I think a year or two ago I saw a documentary about Coco, and it said like she was going to be like the next Grand Slam champion, that she wanted to be number one. I was like, that's a little bit of a stretch.
I mean, there's a lot of people who said that. I mean, every American said that before, and we can't even get one in the round of 16 for the men's.
Do we actually not have anybody?
Not a single man in the round of 16.
Who's our last hope? Isner, right?
I think it was Isner who lost to Cilic last night.
Oh,
Isner, Kudla, and Sandgren all lost in the third round.
And Stevie Johnson lost in the first
round. Yeah, but Johnson sucks. He lost to Kyrgios. We're number one Kyrgios podcast.
We're a number one Kyrgios podcast. That's
all right. So, Daniel, let's get into hot takes now. We've talked about how much we love Nick Kyrgios. We'll talk about him more later in my favorite new segment I'm introducing. But first, hot takes. What's your hot take?
My hot take is that I am absolutely horrible at predicting stuff. So if you guys listened to the last podcast, I talked about how Nick Kyrgios and Steve Johnson would be a fantastic match, and that Barty was going to lose first round against Serena Diaz. That didn't happen.
I mean, hey, she lost the first set 6-0, so you could have.
Okay, it was 6-1.
6-1, right? I thought 6-0. Okay.
But Barty ended up winning 1-6, 6-3, 6-2, and Kyrgios won 6-3, 7-6, 6-4, I think.
He won pretty easily.
Yeah, so I was completely wrong, and all of your takes were hot. Like, all of your takes were 100% like correct. I was listening back. You were, like, on, like,
the... I mean, I talked about Dimitrov being good, and he's here. I mean, granted, he got lucky default, so I can't take too much credit for that one. But he's out here playing the round of 16 against Dimitrov. But my hot take for this week is Tsitsipas and Thiem are unbelievably overrated. They are terrible in the majors. They haven't made it past the first round of a major since the French Open. They lost in the first round of Wimbledon. They lost in the first round of the US Open. You are top 10 players in the world. You can't be doing that twice a year.
Four of like the top 10 players lost, right?
Yeah, but this is the second major in a row that Tsitsipas and Thiem both went out in the first round. At least Kakhanov and Batista Agut won a round in the last major.
Okay, I have another hot take. You don't know how to pronounce names.
Yeah, I can't pronounce these four names. I've never owned up to it.
So it's Karen Khachanov.
Khachanov.
And it's Tsitsipas.
You know what, Daniel?
It's not that...
Pronunciation doesn't matter because he sucks.
Okay. Well, yes, he does. He does suck.
When he wins a round in the U.S. Open, then I'll learn how to pronounce his name.
Okay, that's true.
That's my hot takes. You know what? Right. If you want to win a round, then I'll say your name right.
All right, Frank. So we're recording this on Sunday morning before all the matches start. So we don't know the results of anything right now. All I know right now is that Roger Federer doesn't know how to play a first set.
Yeah, I think he basically decided it's more fun for him in these first couple rounds if he loses a set, so that way he has a little challenge or a little more time on the court. Because that's the only explanation for why he keeps dropping first sets.
He lost first sets to both his first round opponents, who I'd never heard of.
His first round opponents were pretty terrible.
They were pretty bad.
He's Roger Federer. He should not be losing first round sets to these guys.
Did he not feel comfortable on the court? Did he want to get more time on the court to, like, understand how to, you know, like, hit a tennis ball?
I mean, yeah. Who loses the first... I don't even... Okay, he lost the first hit to Zoomer. He's not bad.
But Zoomer's not great. He's, like, 150 in the world right now.
Yeah, I could... The 6-2, 6-3, 6-4 is what I expect from him.
But the...
Not the winning of set, 6-3.
Yeah.
Now, the first round guy, that's something else.
Who was that? I've never heard of that guy in my life.
He's currently ranked 190 in the world.
Summit Nagal, I believe, is his name. He is 22 from Jihajar, India.
Currently lives in New Delhi, India, and he's 5'10". Those are your stats.
So he's scrawny. He basically should not have been on the court with Federer to begin with. But he won a set, so congratulations. But the thing is, this is the second tournament in a row where Federer has lost the first set.
Yeah.
Number two, Lloyd Harris.
Exactly. So, I don't know what's going on with Federer. Now, the other big story was, seeds just can't play this tournament. I mean, let's just go through and give you all
Are there any seeds left?
There's a decent amount of men's because you have Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic, obviously. But let's go through the seeds of the last first round. Fognini, which I call out, by the way, my boy Opelka, took that in four. That was a shock.
That was pretty impressive, by the way.
Fritz lost to Feliciano Lopez in four, which, again, surprised the hell out of me. Like you mentioned earlier, Tsitsipas, there you go.
Tsitsipas.
And Thiem, you had Pella lose. And we're not even in the second half of the draw yet, and we've already got four. Let's see, I mean, this is just ridiculous. You had four, and you had Khachanov lost. Is that how I say it right, Daniel?
It's Khachanov.
Khachanov. You have four top 10 players in the world go out in the first round.
I literally have no idea. I'm at a loss for words. I'm eating goldfish right now, so...
And Shapovalov killed Felix Aguirre. Killed him.
Oh, I thought that match would be close.
So did I. 1-1 and 4? Like...
And he was throwing his racket in the match. He was actually mad that he only lost six games.
Yeah, like, dang.
I actually have one thing to point out. There are, like, how is Matteo Berrettini still in this tournament?
Because Berrettini's in the bottom half of the draw where all the good players got upset.
He has not, like, won a hard court match in a year. Literally, Australian Open, going towards, like, Indian Wells and Canada and Cincinnati, he had not won a hard court match, and now he's actually beaten a lot of decent people.
Who'd he beat? So he beat Popyrin.
He beat Popyrin. I'm going to get our stats department on this.
I'm trying to find him.
Of course. So Matteo Berrettini has had the legitimate easiest, road to the round of 16. He beat Richard Gasquet in four. He beat Jordan Thompson in four. And then he beat Alexei Popyrin, who I think is going to be fantastic, in four.
Well, you got to remember, the bottom half of the draw is where everyone lost. Batista Ago lost first round. Tsitsipas lost first round.
Everybody
FAA lost first round. Thiem lost first round. Basically, Nadal went from having what looked like a pretty difficult section on paper to having a cakewalk to the finals.
I'm just at a loss. I don't know. I wish him all the best.
Nadal playing Cilic today will be Nadal's toughest match by far, and he's going to win in straights.
You think?
Yeah.
He's going to beat Cilic in straights?
I think he'll kill Cilic.
I'm actually not sure what the I think...
But we'll save that for the round of 16 preview.
Yeah. But now we just go... Let's go to the women's.
Yeah. The women's draw... Well, I've said this 100 times before. Women's tennis is a lot harder to predict than men's tennis because it's a lot more even. In men's tennis, you have the four guys who dominate every tournament.
And then you have Taylor Townsend beating Simona Halep.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
That's what I'm talking about, unpredictable. And that's why I like women's tennis a little more, because it's so unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen.
Well, actually, there are a lot of seeds left on the women's side.
There are, but it's not something you would expect.
It's all like, there's a lot of 20 to 30s in here.
But even in the women's draws, there were still a lot of big upsets. Sloane Stephens lost first round.
Is that girl still in the tournament, or did she lose?
No, she lost her next round, another American.
Oh, who'd she lose to?
On?
Who?
AHN, on?
Is she still in?
Yeah, she beat Ostapenko in the third round.
Oh, who is that? Christy On. Oh, good for her. Good for her. She lives in New York. Like, she was born in Flushing Meadows. She was born on a tennis court. If she doesn't win this tournament, I don't know who is.
Yeah, but maybe, so then
hopefully Serena.
You have Townsend making her run, which is awesome. Good for her. You had... man, I thought my girl Coco Vandeweghe was going to win her first round.
Nah.
She put up a good fight.
Against, well, Coco...
Keenan.
Oh, no. There's no way Sophia Kenin was losing that match.
The first set, you thought she... First set, Coco had a chance.
Okay, yeah, but it's also Coco. Coco is the Nick Kyrgios of women's tennis.
That's also fair.
That's 100% true.
There was a really sad story. Oh, before we get to that, McNally.
Oh, Katie McNally. Oh,
she played fantastic.
Oh, honey.
She just got beat by one of the greatest women's tennis player of all time, but she played absolutely fantastic tennis.
The worst part was that Serena thought that she played bad that match.
Serena did play bad.
Yeah, but you know what? Serena... is so close to losing basically every match she plays. She either wins 0-0 or loses like 2-1. 2-1.
Yeah, that's also true.
Or loses the first set.
I'm trying to remember who it was. Your girl Daniel. There's a really cool story I heard about an American who overcame cancer, and American woman. I just can't remember who it is now. She was playing a good seed in the second round, I want to say. I'm trying to find out who it is.
Oh, Allison Risk.
Thank you.
Yeah, Allison Risk, again.
That was an awesome story.
Awesome story. Love her. My dad is a big fan of her. My dad survived cancer, too, and he found hope.
No, yeah, that's an awesome story.
That's a great story. Allison Risk, thank you. I know you're listening to this podcast because there are like 10 people.
I know this is not a potentially a topic, but there's a good story like this in the MLB about two guys who are teammates now in the Cubs, John Lester and Anthony Rizzo. Lester basically did the same thing for him. Lester was a cancer survivor. He met Rizzo right after he got drafted and basically inspired him. Like, these are awesome stories you want to hear about.
These are the stories you want to hear about. You don't want to hear about, like, the racket throwing, even though we love that. I think you need this podcast is a good mixture of human interest stories and degenerate tennis.
Hey, we're not just a fan of the degenerates. Like Nick Kyrgios, we also like... That's only on the men's side. On the women's side, we're more fans of the classic players.
Yeah. No, see, we're a fan of the human interest stories on the women's side of the draw, and then the absolute debauchery on the men's side of the
draw. All right, we're going to do a live reaction to me figuring out if the guy I know playing in the U.S. doubles won his first round or not. We're about to find out.
Who do you know?
Keegan Smith.
He definitely lost.
Oh, he lost in three! Come on!
Isn't it... Wait...
They only did three because of they're only doing two out of three because of the weather delays.
Oh, that's bull.
I know. The Dells got delayed an entire day, so to make it up, right, they shortened the matches.
It's all right. You know what?
That was a live reaction to me finding out.
Rats. Well, I guess on that note.
All right, Daniel. So this is our next new segment. Kind of something funny I thought of when I was watching Stan Wawrinka play the other night. You guys remember he broke a racket over his knee and then just walked up and handed it to a little kid in the front row of the crowd. I thought that was hilarious.
It's kind of nice.
It was very nice of him, but you know, it was kind of funny because McEnroe and them were saying on the broadcast, well, if I'm that little kid, I'm asking if I can get a real stick, you know, and not broken one from him. But that made me think of my new idea here. This is the racket support group. We're going to take a moment here and talk about all these poor rackets just getting their butts handed to them by some of the men this year. We've seen a lot of players do throw a lot of rackets.
Nick Kyrgios.
Number one Nick Kyrgios podcast in America, but yeah, he loves to chuck the racket. I was watching ESPN coverage a couple nights ago, and they were showing him play doubles before the singles matches went on. He threw his racket face down. He bounced back up, and he caught it. It was just awesome.
I wish I knew how to do that. Every time in any of my college matches, I threw my racket on the ground. It always, like, cracked.
It was fantastic, though, because on the broadcast, they're like, if he threw this on the side like he normally did, that'd be point penalty. Somehow Kyrgios found a way to outsmart everyone and avoiding a point penalty when he already got his warning for behavior in the court by throwing the racket face down because it doesn't crack. So you can't get a point penalty if it doesn't crack.
Nick Kyrgios is the smartest man alive.
It's fantastic. Then last night, Denis Shapovalov, he spiked the hell out of the racket in his match. Did you see that one?
I didn't,
So he made a great comeback. He was down a double break in the fourth. He came back, won the fourth set, forced the fifth set tiebreak. Got broken, and he's just like, fuck this, and spiked it against the ground. It was terrible.
From what I'm hearing and from, I guess, what I'm seeing, literally every young guy doesn't, like, has a huge temper. So we have Kyrgios, Shapovalov, and actually Zverev, Misha Zverev, or no, yeah.
Which
no,
one?
Misha's, I guess both of them, both Zverevs, but Alex mainly. The dude, well, he's horrible. I don't know how he's actually still in this tournament. He has one of the biggest tempers because I think he has the most pressure on him. So, well, he was like number like four in the world from like last year, I think.
Yeah.
And he didn't win a round in a major, or he's like barely won any rounds. He's in the round of 16 now, which is impressive. But I think the more pressure we put on these young guys, the more they're going to throw.
All right, so I agree with that. I just had an epiphany. You know who used to have a huge temper, who I probably haven't heard from in 3 or 4 years, who's still trying to play pro, as far as my knowledge?
Federer.
Federer's in the pro still.
But Federer had a huge temper.
No, you know who's the name? Ernest Gulbis.
Oh, you mean like the rich boy?
Yeah, the Bulgarian. Or not the Bulgarian. He was
Latvian.
Latvian, that's right. Dimitrov's the good Bulgarian. Yes. He used to have a huge temper because he just didn't give a shit about the matches. He's from a rich family, so his dad paid for all his travel. He didn't pick up his checks. Yeah, he didn't need the money, so he just didn't care. So he would just throw shit all the time. It was fantastic.
I miss him. Whatever happened to him?
I was just thinking about that. He just flamed out big time. Our stat department, a.k.a. Daniel and I, are going to Google when the last time he played.
We were literally both Googling Ernest Gulbis.
He played in the qualifiers, lost first round to... I don't even want to try to pronounce his name because I'm not going to
get that. Guys,
just so we don't even try to pronounce it here, it's W-A-T-A-N-U-K-I.
Watanuki.
Watanuki is what we're going with here.
Yep, all right. It was a Y, so I think it's probably could be like a... Oh, wait, it's a Yoshito Wainuga. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to try. But
this is going downhill real fast.
We're going to go look at his ATP profile, see what he's ranked. He's number 123 in the world. Fun fact, I still think it's higher than Jack Sock. Fun fact, it is 55 spots higher than Jack Sock.
Jack Sock is going to retire soon, I'm telling you.
Jack Sock on the US Open, and he's ranked 55 higher spots than Ernest Gulbis. Right. I want revenge for my boy Ernest.
Okay, I feel like we're just a degenerate podcast now. I mean,
pretty much.
Our problem here, and the reason why our viewership's not going to grow like past my sister's, is that we support anger. Like, we need to support peace in the world. But hey. No, we're literally supporting people chucking like $200. Don't get me
wrong. I love the guys like Federer and Nadal. Actually, I hate Nadal with a passion. I love Federer, Djokovic, and Gauffin. I love watching Gauffin play, but they're not as fun. I just like watching Kyrgios do his anger on the court.
You know what's great? I think you know who we need to add to the racket support group? Novak Djokovic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Even though he's the best in the world. And
he's a psychopath.
He's a psychopath. anytime he's not up a double break. So, like, at the start of the match, if he loses, like, the first point, he's going to go, like, break his racket. He'll go, like, cuss at something. Or he'll make an excuse saying, all right, guys, like, I'm officially done with this. I'm, like, retiring from tennis. And then he's up, like, a triple break.
All right, Daniel, I'm asking you a tough question here. Who scares you more when they're angry? Novak Djokovic or Nick Kyrgios?
Novak Djokovic, because he actually takes tennis seriously.
That's the correct... No, not even just in tennis sense, too. Novak Djokovic legitimately looks like a psychopath when he gets angry.
No, like, he looks like a vampire. Like, I'm legitimately scared. I will turn the TV to, like, Rick and Morty. Like, whenever Novak Djokovic's done. The problem with Nick is that he's funny when he does it. So, I can't be scared of him. He's like Nick Kyrgios is a puppy! Nick Kyrgios is a cute... little angry puppy who can beat me up at any point in time.
Last night when he yelled at the line judges because the lights at the stadium were too bright, I couldn't help but laugh. That was so funny.
There are lights. I thought you wanted bright lights.
I guess he wants to not be able to see the ball for a different reason.
I guess, do you play with a different ball color? Like, do you play with one of like those pink balls?
Let's give him a bright orange ball.
Oh, God. All right.
Like, you know those little orange and green teaching balls that are a little softer?
So you're saying Nick Kyrgios is like a six-year-old?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
He's my favorite. Like I said, we're a big Nick Kyrgios podcast, but I think he needs those balls. And the lights are too bright.
He needs more than just those balls.
Jesus. All right. I think on that note, we're going to end the Racket support group, and we're going to get right in to our next segment.
It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. There is definitely tennis on. Frank, let's preview this.
So we're going to start by looking at the women's round of 16 here, guys. I'm looking at these matches, and first off, I'm just going to get this on the record now. Taylor Townsend is winning this major. She's probably not going to win it, but I just want her to so badly.
I remember my pick of Serena Williams last podcast. If you guys did not listen to the last podcast, I'd definitely do it. It's not good, but it's definitely, like, pretty good.
It's not that good.
Yeah, okay, fine. I had Serena Williams win it all. I had Serena and Nadal win it all.
Hey, our winner's picks could play in the next round for the women's.
Oh, my God.
if Barty and Serena can both survive one more round, our winner's picks are going head-to-head.
We could live stream that, honestly.
If that happens, we're going to live stream it.
On Tuesday?
We're doing it. Yeah. I'm declaring it.
Let's do it. Oh, my God. That would be so funny.
Stay tuned. If Serena Williams and Ashley Barty win, we're going to have a live stream decided live on this podcast.
To see who is the better tennis pick. Well, but then, what if
Nadal and Djokovic play in the finals?
that would be insane. Both of our picks play each other.
That would be happening.
But okay. Again, honestly, Barty and Djokovic will definitely win both of those. So I'm gonna lose.
I think Barty's gonna have I think Barty might have a little trouble this round.
I think Barty loses. I really want my pick to win, so I'm saying
she
Barty
hasn't
loses.
Been playing great in the U.S. Open, and I think it's gonna continue today.
No, she honestly hasn't. Well, she's had a lot of slow starts, so what I would understand, like, what I would think is that she loses the first set.
Yeah, I can see that happening. But do you know what match I'm really excited to watch?
What?
I'm going to butcher the names, but Keys versus Svitolina.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, yes. Okay, I thought you were looking at... I was looking at Serena Williams. That's going to be a really good one. Another one, I think an underrated matchup. So remember you had the... Thompson and Sousa match in the first round.
Yeah.
I had Taylor Townsend and Bianca Andreescu right now. I think we have two like very large women who hit extremely hard and honestly are fantastic at the sport playing. And it's a US-Canada match. Going to be really intense.
This is the battle for North America here. The winner is the king of, or the queen, sorry, of North America. Come on.
You know what? No, let's be a little bit gender neutral here. The winner of this will be the ruler of North America.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Same thing. Yeah. Same thing.
I'm all for it. I'm all for gender.
That's a synonym. Come on.
It's a synonym, but you gotta make sure you have it. Other than that, I think Osaka's gonna whip Bencic, end up beating like Donna Vecic. Honestly, Osaka could win this tournament again.
Osaka's gonna be playing someone in the semifinals. It's just a question of who at this point.
I don't think anybody has a chance against her. She's gonna get to the finals easily. Because Belinda Bencic had fantastic comeback by her. She came out of nowhere. I think she wasn't even ranked a few months ago. Comes out of nowhere, and now I think all her tournaments this year have been third round. She's gotten third round of each, so this is her best tournament of the year.
It's going to be interesting. I think that the women's draw is going to be up in the air. Besides for Osaka, I could see every match going either way.
Oh, yeah. This is... That's why I don't like... I'm not going to say I don't like women's tennis. It's very difficult to predict and kind of understand who's going to win, which kind of makes it fun.
Now... As an American homer here, I want all four American women to win. I want to see them all just dominate.
Remember, there was all women's, all U.S. women's semifinal. I think it was the year Sloan won.
You're right.
Because it was Maddie Keys.
Sloan.
It was
stat department.
Venus Williams. And as the stat department looks this up, as in Frank, because I am definitely wasting time. Yeah, find that draw.
I'm trying to find out what year she won it.
She won in 2017.
Okay, hang on, guys. The stat department is working really hard here. Our stat department's really underpaid, so we should stat them out. I don't want the Golf U.S. Open. Google, come on. Guys, if you're hearing this, Google's trying to let us look at the Golf instead of the U.S. Open.
This makes us look really unprepared, and honestly, yeah.
We kind of are, but we weren't expecting to just kind of come up with this topic, let's be honest here. It was Coco Vanderweide, Keys, Venus, and Sloane Stephens.
That was pretty awesome. I think the U.S. breeds women's tennis players. Just like the U.S. breeds men's basketball players.
That's also true.
You know, actually, fun fact, tennis is the highest paying U.S. women's sport.
Oh, it's not surprising at all.
Yeah, like even like soccer or like football for all the Europeans listening here.
Do they have a bigger prize purse than golf?
Oh, yeah, LPGA does not get a lot. I wish they did, Mike. I wish they got a lot more, but they don't. I think men's and women's tournaments have definitely like forced equality on them.
Yeah, it's true. I remember, God, there was a couple years ago. I don't remember who they were now. It was a man. He was barely in the top 100. Basically trash-talking one of the like, top 10 women's players in the world at the time.
Was it Serena?
It wasn't Serena. It was someone not from the U.S. Because I would remember Serena. And he's like, yo, we should get more because we play more sets. It makes more sense. And the woman's like, I will beat you on the court. And to be honest, she probably would have. The guy wasn't very good.
I hate like the top 500 tennis players like talking trash against like the women. It's a different sport, honestly.
Yeah. To be honest, the guys outside of it, let's be honest here. If you're outside of the top, we'll give 178 so I can get my boy Jack Sock in the top. In this
the quote, top 178.
Just so I can get my boy Jack Sock in this quote-unquote good era. You know, he sucks. But if you're below him, you're kind of terrible.
Yeah, if Jack Sock beats you, I'm sorry. You should just retire from the sport.
He was terrible.
All right.
And that's saying as someone who Jack Sock used to beat the shit out of my brother, Junior. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, your brother wasn't good.
Yeah, he really wasn't.
I know.
But hey, he played D1.
I played D3, so how does that make me?
So, let's go to the men's singles. We got to have a shot
here. No comment.
Let's try to get back on track here. Let's talk about...
I was horrible at tennis. No.
Don't worry, I was even worse than you. But
no.
Let's get back on track here.
Stop ruining my life.
And let's talk about the men's round 16.
You're giving me anxiety. All right, okay, so now back on track. I need to take a little water.
Okay, so while he's taking some water, I will try to get us back on track.
We're
getting way sidetracked.
I've gained my composure. I've realized I'm bad at tennis. How about Djokovic Wawrinka? That's going to be fantastic.
I'm looking at this draw, yeah, and that's the one match that doesn't piss me off. I am beyond mad that Rublev is in the round of 16. Because he just hits the ball.
He gets to the quarterfinals, too.
He just hits the ball really hard and
probably
goes in.
Get to the quarterfinals, I will guarantee it.
He probably will, and this is really going to bother
him. That's my dick pic. Just part of my take has a pinky pic.
Yeah.
I'd say that's my dick pic. Like, if Berrettini beats Rublev, you can just honestly cut off my penis. That sounded a lot more sexual than it was going to be, and but I think other than that, like, Gael Monfils and Pablo Andujar. Andujar has had a great comeback, but I think Monfils is going to take that easy. Schwartzman could beat Zverev, but I think Zverev's going to take that out. And you said Nadal is going to whip Cilic, right?
Yeah, I think so. Unfortunately.
There's honestly not much to preview here. I think the previews... We almost have to preview the quarterfinals and semifinals.
No, the Magic are going to preview my boy Gregor Dimitrov. Come on.
Oh, no. Okay, yo, like, this is already a Nick Kyrgios podcast. We can't have multiple boys here.
That's true. I just called my boy because I called his run.
I'm glad that he's back. I'm glad that he's having, like, some sort
he's
of success.
Gonna, his ranking is going to skyrocket.
Well, he's at 78 right now. I think, let me look at the stats department. Live.
He lost in the first round of the U.S. Open last year. So he's about to gain a lot of points.
You're at probably like 250, I think, right now. Let me look.
He won the fourth round of Australian, third of Roland Garros, and first round of Wimbledon. So this is good for him.
Oh, all right. We're going to scroll down here. All right. What do we got here? Dimitrov is currently at 62. And if he beats whoever he's playing...
It's Demenar, I think.
Oh, Demir? He could, honestly. Demenar?
Yeah.
If he beats Demenar, he is going to get up to 1,072 points, which will put him at around 43 in the world. 42 in the world.
Interesting.
That's a good comeback. I mean, because since he's been like around like 70s, I think it's just been mental issues.
Yeah. He's always had those issues. But I think this could be a huge comeback for him. Honestly... Well, if he plays right, with the way Federer's been playing, he has a shot to beat Federer, too.
Because Federer might lose against Goffin.
Yeah. Federer's not been playing great this US Open, and I really think that Federer could lose in one of the next two matches pretty easily.
Could Medvedev beat Djokovic
the way he's been playing on hard courts,
Medvedev's
think so.
Made like five finals in a row.
Medvedev's been playing incredible.
He's five in the world now?
He was five coming into this major.
I think he's still five since Zverev's up there. I'm gonna look right now. He is still five. Oh my gosh! So if he wins this, he's still five because Dominic Thiem's still four in the world.
How is he not gonna pass Thiem?
Thiem gets like the finals of every clay tournament.
Yeah, sure. He sucks at every other tournament.
He doesn't suck. He sucks on grass.
He lost first round of the US Open. He's terrible.
Okay, yeah, he's not good. I could lose first round of the US Open.
Exactly.
So could I. Does that make me Dominic Thiem?
I think it does.
Yes. Let's go. My ego's starting to inflate again.
Hey, fun fact. He's played two... I'm not going to try to say his name because I know I can't say it.
It's Daniel Medvedev. Or Daniil.
Medvedev? Okay, I can't say that right.
Medvedev.
He's played two doubles majors. Fun fact, I'm looking at how he didn't pass majors.
Wow. And
fun fact.
But, like, this is his best major, too. I guess... No, he got to the Australian
fourth round. He had the fourth round of Australian this year.
He's going to beat... he's going to beat whoever he's playing. Dominic Koepka. He's going to beat him. That's not even close.
I really think he can beat Djokovic.
He could. This is Medvedev's tournament to lose.
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, it's definitely Djokovic's. But
here's the thing. I'm going to go on a... You know what? I'm going to add a new hot take here. We're going to see minimum of one person, I think two, out some... Someone outside this big three win a U.S. Open or a major from now till the U.S. Open next year.
We have three different people?
No, two, at least minimum one, I think two. So
you think 2020 is the year that...
Between now, this U.S. Open now, the round of 16, to the end of the U.S. Open 2020, someone outside the big three will win a major.
Andy Murray, comeback. The comeback is real.
I wish.
Andy Murray. I hope he does. Oh, dude,
I really think it's gonna be one of these young guys this year.
I have no idea. I just want some rando to win.
Honestly, it could be Dimitrov this year.
Okay, you know what? Let's talk about that in our conclusion. But I think this is gonna be wild. This has been a very good U.S. Open. So
okay,
far.
So low key here is Rublev gonna make the semifinals?
He's got Berrettini, and yes.
And who are Mumpies?
Going to make the semifinals.
I think we're about to have Rublev playing in the semifinals.
Andre Rublev looks like a snake.
And
like
to be honest, if he can keep making the ball like he's been this tournament, he's going to win this tournament. Because
he's not going to beat Nadal. No way.
Because he will beat Nadal, because Nadal won't be able to get the ball back, because he's just going to hit it 100 off the baseline, exactly on the line, every ball.
But Nadal doesn't miss. Nadal runs for every single shot.
Yeah, but here's what's going to happen. Nadal's going to think the ball's going out, because every ball he hits should be going out, and somehow it's going to clip the line, like it always does.
I hate him.
So do I.
I hate it.
Okay, guys, that was our round of 16 coverage.
All right, guys, thank you for listening to the second episode of the Drop a Deuce podcast. Frank, we did our picks last podcast, and, you know, you guys can listen to that. It's our first episode. Hopefully this one's a little bit better. But, Frank, what are your bold picks?
My bold pick, I'm going to give you one for the men, one for the women's. I'm going to do a two-part bold pick. We're going to see Rublev in the semis And I think he's going to beat Nadal in the semis because he's just somehow going to keep winning matches.
Andre Rublev's going to win the US Open.
He shouldn't be winning matches, but he's somehow going to do it. And the other one is Gregor Dimitrov will win his section of the draw. He will win it if he can keep if he can keep his level right where it is now. He's just playing too good of tennis, and he's going to get a lucky bounce.
Is he, though?
I think he will. It's a, Daniel, these are bold predictions.
Well, he's played Andre Seppi. He got a bye, and then he beat Majerak.
It's bold predictions, okay?
Okay, fine.
What's a bold prediction if you just go, oh, Djokovic is going to win the US Open. Federer's going to win.
Okay, wow, okay.
These are bold predictions. And you know,
but that's bold to say he's playing well.
Have you been watching him play? Because I've been watching him.
No, because his matches are irrelevant.
I've been watching his matches because I like Dimitrov, and he's been playing the best he's played in years.
Okay, fine. You know what? My bold prediction.
Oh, hang on. I haven't done my bold women's pick yet. I want to do them both together.
Yeah, okay.
The bold women predict Taylor Townsend's going to be playing a semifinals match.
Nah. I could see it, but nah.
Who's she going to lose to?
And Bianca Andreescu?
She's going to kill Andreescu.
No. It's going to be like a 2-1 Andreescu.
It's going to be a 2-1 Townsend win.
All right, handshake?
No, it's a bold prediction.
You're very bold right now.
It's a bold prediction
segment.
That's
very, very, very bold.
Guys, get ready for some pretty boring bold predictions from Daniel here. It's probably going to be the finals will be Djokovic versus Federer. Or, sorry, Djokovic versus Nadal.
That would be really bold since they're meeting in the semis.
You know what? I just made fun of trying to make fun of you, so don't even...
If you're going to make fun of me, at least be good at it.
Touche.
All right, so my bold predictions are I think Medvedev wins his first Grand Slam. He's gotten through a lot of tough matches. He got through Feliciano Lopez, which was pretty impressive. And I think he made quick work of his first two rounds. I think the fact that he's in this and he's still winning, even though he's been playing so much, I think he has a shot. I think he has a true shot. And my bold prediction women's pick is... Barty loses. I'm going Barty loses. Barty loses right now. That's my bold pick.
I don't even know how to respond because Daniel, I already know Barty's done a break. It's not very bold. Because
okay,
she
fine.
Started when we're recording.
Okay,
we already
fine.
Know she's getting killed since she started playing when we were recording. Right,
we're,
if you're going to do your bold prediction, at least don't make it something we're physically watching happen while we record.
Okay, I'm just happy that your pick's going to lose. So now, like, my pick is going to win. So
your pick's not going to win the major, though. So we're
no, Serena's going to win. So, okay, fine. Bold pick. Now, because my real bold pick was taken to the wayside. It's bold. Like, she's... Barty's still playing. Barty is a 2-seed that is still not lost as of 11:58 a.m.
Daniel, it's not very bold to say when someone's up a set and a break, maybe about to be a double break, they're going to lose.
Okay, fine. Serena Williams still wins this. That's my bold pick. Because Frank, you are not trusting Serena Williams. I'm trusting Serena.
I'm not trusting Serena because she should have lost the last round. That was BS.
Okay. Maybe. But still. Well, no. Like, 2 rounds ago, right?
She's been playing. Was McNally her last match?
McNally was 2 matches ago. She played Muchova.
Okay. She should have lost 2 rounds ago.
Whatever. Okay, you know what? Let's save this for Tuesday when Barty and Serena play each other on our live stream. All right?
I wish. All right, guys.
All right.
Well, you know what? Daniel and I are about to probably hate each other right at the end of this episode, so we're we're going to end now before things start flying.
All righty. Thank you guys for listening. Our next podcast will be coming out on...
Sometime
next week.
We're not going to say a date.
I'm actually out of town next Sunday, so...
Next Sunday.
Monday.
I'm not recording next Sunday, so... I wouldn't
Monday. Record. Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
I'm not recording next Monday either. I'll tell you why I'm not recording next Monday off air. We'll get that later.
Whatever. All right. So our next podcast will come out sometime within the next couple weeks. Mainly because we're busy, partially because this is a lot of work. And you know what? Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you at some point in the near future.